Welcome to Timeless Treasures from God's Word, a preaching ministry of the late Reverend Howard E. Tucker, former pastor of the Calvary Presbyterian Church in Wilkinsburg, Pennsylvania, whose radio ministry was heard for many years on KDKA every Sunday night. Voiced by his son Timothy, we hope these messages will inspire and challenge you and bring many to a saving knowledge of Christ as Savior. Now, here's Tim.
Good evening, everyone, whether you're listening on the radio or podcast, whether you're in the Pittsburgh area or in one of the other states of the United States that's listening, or even in some of the other countries that come along with us. We thank you for joining us tonight for our program in studying God's Word. I'd like to share a message with you tonight, and it's entitled Love Tests Fellowship. It's from 1 John chapter 2, verses 7 through 11. A message my father gave on the radio some years ago. He was a graduate of Wheaton College and Dallas Theological Seminary. And you can listen to other broadcasts that we've done by taking your smartphone or computer and in the search bar just type in Timeless Treasures from God's Word. Well, the Apostle John was very close to our Lord, and through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, he wrote five New Testament books, including his Gospel, three Epistles, and Revelation. In brief, his Gospel gets you into the household of God. Well, the first epistle makes you at home there. It's an intimate family letter from a loving Heavenly Father to His children. Our message tonight is Love Tests Fellowship, from verses 7 through 11 of 1 John chapter 2. And these verses say, Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shines. He that says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loves his brother abides in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness, and knows not whither he goes, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. Side by side with obedience in an inseparable sense is love, and together they demonstrate our joyful fellowship with God as believers in Christ as our Savior. John says he is simply emphasizing what Christ taught them back in the beginning of their Christian experience. 2 John chapter 1, verses 5 and 6 say, Not as though I wrote a new commandment unto you, but that which ye had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. In John 15, verses 9 through 12, Christ said, As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Obedience and love go hand in hand. You can't have the one without the other. They witness effectively to a lost world so desperately in need of our Savior. 1 John 2, verse 7 says, The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. That word from Christ in John 13, 34, and 35 was, A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. 1 John 3:11 says, For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. The sense in which the old commandment becomes a new commandment is simply that after Christ's death, resurrection, and ascension, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit became true of all believers. Romans 5:5 tells us that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to all believers. When John says here that the darkness is past and the true light is now shining, you recall that Paul in 2 Corinthians 4 verses 3 and 4 insists it is Satan who blinds people so they cannot see the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. The Holy Spirit removes the blindness and lets us see the light of Christ to receive him as our Savior. Just as obedience and love were true in Christ, likewise now John insists they must be true in us if we are really children of God through the new birth by the power of the Holy Spirit. We believers are in the light and not in darkness, and one of the proofs of this is our love for others. When John speaks of hating or loving one's brother, he probably uses the term more with the broad meaning of brother-man rather than the relationship between physical brothers or the relationship between spiritual brothers in Christ. Certainly, we Christians love fellow Christians, but we also love everyone for whom Christ died. 1 John 3:14-17 say, "We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loves not his brother abides in death. Whosoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby we perceive the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's good and sees his brother have need and shuts up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwells the love of God in him?" 1 John 4:19-21 say, "We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he that loves not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God who he has not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loves God love his brother also." Now these are strong words in these scriptures, so we see that if we believe the Bible and believe in Christ as our Savior, the inescapable acid test of our fellowship with God is love. The believer's love is demonstrated toward God, toward fellow believers, and toward all who have not yet become believers in Christ. Paul puts it so well in 2 Corinthians 5:14-15, where he says, "For the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." You see, it's not so much of our love for Christ as it is his love for us believers and for all unbelievers, which constrains and motivates us believers to live for him and to seek to win others, to place their faith in him as their Savior too. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Love always gives. When we truly love God and lost sinners for whom Christ died, then we give ourselves day by day and moment by moment to the indwelling Holy Spirit, who knows the will of God for us and who alone can accomplish it in and through us. We believers are the only hope of our sin-cursed, degenerate world, and we must not fail, because if we do, then to that degree, God's purpose for keeping us down here on earth after our salvation is not fulfilled. The Holy Spirit is responsible for saving the soul, but we believers are responsible in love to share the good news of God's redeeming grace through the shed blood of Christ with everyone as quickly as possible, because our time may be very short. Hate and love must be clearly understood. We believers in Christ must hate sin because God does, but we must also love the sinner because God does. While the shed blood of Christ on the cross is available to him, the choice is his alone. He can refuse the love of God by rejecting Christ as his Savior and end up in the lake of fire, existing in torment for all eternity, separated from a holy God who loved him and sent his Son to die for him. On the other hand, he can accept the love of God by receiving Christ as his Savior, and along with us other believers, know the joy of sins forgiven and life eternal with heaven, our eternal abode, in the presence of God. Hate of other persons only harms the one who does the hating. Love of other persons is beneficial to all and pleasing to God. If all believers had the love of lost sinners God intended us to have, it would transform our sinful world in a very short time. It took only a few faithful followers of his who truly loved him and lost sinners to change the world in the early Christian church period, and it could be done again. If churches will stop being simply social political institutions with merely a religious flavor and become lighthouses once more to win men to Christ as Savior, then we will see the Holy Spirit work once more. If churches refuse to get back to the clear proclamation of the gospel of Christ provided by the love of God, then it is only a matter of time before God will step in to judge our sinful world and a church that has been faithless to its God-given task. True believers look forward to the coming of Christ in the air for his own, and love is appearing, when he will catch us up into heaven before his judgment come. While he tarries, and we are spared, we seek to be faithful to him and to his will for our lives in obedience and love, demonstrating our joyful fellowship with God is delightfully real indeed. If you are a believer in Christ, then praise God for fellowship with him. Let no unconfessed sin break it, and let the Holy Spirit use you to lead others to receive Christ as their Savior too. If you never have received Christ as your personal Savior, why not make this the night where you ask Christ to come into your life? Just simply, humbly admit before God right now that you're a sinner, that you deserve his judgment for your sins, and that you want to repent of the sins that you've done. You want to turn away from sin and follow Christ, believing he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for you to take all your sins away if you'll simply place your faith and trust in him. And he'll remove the guilt of your sin and give you eternal life, but also believe that he rose again from the dead on the third day to prove that he is the Son of God, that everything he said was true. If you place your faith and trust in him, you will have eternal life starting now. You will have your sins forgiven. You'll be released from that judgment of sin, and you'll have the ability to walk in the walk that Jesus wants you to go because of the Holy Spirit that he'll give you, to give you the power to live the Christian life, to have that love, that joy, that peace, that patience that you don't have under yourselves, that only he can give. Trust in Christ right now.
Thank you for tuning in tonight. We hope and pray this message was a blessing to you. You may receive a free written copy by emailing us at tptuck51@gmail.com or by calling 412-337-3858. Our mailing address is Timeless Treasures from God's Word, 147 Crescent Garden Drive, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15235. Please join us next week at this time over this fine radio station, Word FM. Till then, walk with the Lord in the light of his Word.